This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures on the challenges that face us going forward from 2021. I want to begin by a quote from Charles Sagan, the astronomer, who said, "We live in a society exquisitely dependent on science and technology, in which hardly anyone knows anything about science and technology." I repeat, he said, "We live in a society exquisitely dependent on science and technology, in which hardly anyone knows anything about science and technology." And if you don't believe me, just take your cell phone out of your pocket, look at it and ask yourself, what do you know about the technology behind this? I think that's enough to answer the question. Science is inevitable and its role in our lives is increasing exponentially and will continue to do so in the foreseeable future. But without the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah, this can lead to atheism and blind worship of the self, with fulfillment of desire being the ultimate goal of life. It is this faulty logic that has led us to the morass that we are drowning in. How many times have you heard statements like, "As long as you are happy, that's all that matters." Teach children to be happy, not successful. Absolute nonsense. There are many very toxic people out there who are very happy spreading misery. It's not being happy, but what you are happy about that matters. This is precisely what is lethally wrong with our world. We have created a culture of irresponsible behavior, which we reward, applaud, and aspire towards. We refuse to see how much totally avoidable and needless misery we create in this process. Poverty is our creation. Violence is our creation. Both are the result of worshipping greed. Greed is what created and supported colonial empires that devastated prosperous nations and stole their wealth and destroyed their economies. Greed resulted in the genocide of indigenous people in the Americas, Australia, and Africa. Greed resulted in the slave trade from Africa to the Americas, where uncounted millions of innocent human beings were kidnapped, transported in conditions that beggar the imagination, abused in ways that are too heinous to mention here, and those who survived were sold into slavery by people whose names are taken with respect to this day. Remember that those people were happy doing what they did, that countless others had their lives destroyed made no difference to them. To this day, there are people like that. Our economies are based on predatory capitalism, on the manufacture and sale of weapons of mass destruction. Our economies are based on the glorification of war and all the misery that it creates. Global warming and the climate change disaster that threatens to destroy our world is the result of greed. Hunger, sickness, ignorance, and the merciless exploitation of the weak are not the result of lack of resources, but lack of compassion. Human trafficking is our modern-day slavery, and in numbers, it exceeds slavery of old. Who are trafficked the most? Your and my daughters. Why? Because there is a market for them. Who buys? You and I. That is the ugly truth. In the old days, they buried them alive. Today, they abuse them for perverse pleasure. On the day of judgment, they will ask for justice and their Rabb will answer their prayer. The list is long, but this must stop. because Allah Azza wa Jal will question us one day. It will stop when we change hearts and mindsets to share happiness. For those who look at misery and ask, why doesn't God do something? I say to them, He did. He created you. Our focus must change from personal happiness at any cost to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to taking others along with us in our pursuit of happiness. It's our call because we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Imagine what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have said if he had lived today. The purpose of education is to prepare people of noble character. Education is for life, not merely for a living. One of the biggest calamities that happened to education was the divorce of character building from learning job-oriented skills. Nothing wrong with getting a good job or earning halal. It is much to be recommended and much to be desired. But it can't be the purpose of a person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send us into the world only to earn a living, but to make the world a better place for all those who live in it. That is why what we teach, how we teach, and who teaches it must all change. We looked at the first four of the seven requirements of education last week. To recap, first, train teachers. Second, redesign the curriculum and teaching methodology. Third, start with primary education and continue until age 15. Fourth, education must start with teaching values, ethics, and morals. The fifth one is to connect them, to connect the students, the children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and introduce them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that they love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and emulate him. Remember that love can't be forced. It is inspired by seeing those who have it. Only those who are connected can connect. Only those who love can show love. Love is the reflection of inner light. No light, no reflection. Remember that the electrician cleans the electrodes before connecting them to the power source. He removes the insulation and oxidation from the copper wire until it shines before splicing it to the power cord. Allah Azza wa Jal is pure and you cannot connect to Him with an impure heart. Tazkiyatun nafs must begin with teachers and must extend to students. It's like breathing. Breathe correctly to benefit from exercise. Tazkiyatun nafs is not simply an annual retreat, but an ongoing curriculum that is constantly monitored. Like the OS, the operating system on which every software and app runs, Tazkiyah is the platform on which human success depends. If the operating system, the platform is corrupted, no software will perform true. So also if the heart is filled with impurities, hatred, jealousy, envy, greed, arrogance, fear of creatures and situations, racism, laziness, rebelliousness, love of sin, cruelty, heedlessness, selfishness, it cannot connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The list is long, but it must be addressed. This cannot be done in a day or even in a course. It must be the ongoing focus with ongoing assessment. To succeed, we must ourselves walk our talk, follow the same path, and have the humility to know that we can make mistakes and correct ourselves constantly without shame. The proof of tazkiyah is akhlaq, manners. Our manners are the reflection of our knowledge. The akhlaq of an alim are the proof of his scholarship. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called khashiyah the sign of an alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fatir, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن الناس والدواب والأنعام مختلف ألوانه كذلك إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء إن الله عزيز غفور, which means and of men and الدواب, all living creatures and cattle in like manners, like manner of various colors. It is only those who have ilm, knowledge among his slaves that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the one who has khashya is an alim. The sign of knowledge is to have khashya in the heart. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty and oft forgiving. We must constantly check our own khashya and humbly correct ourselves. Adab, respect, is the root of all goodness and the prerequisite of acquiring all knowledge, especially religious knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, فَلَمَّا تَهَنُودِيَا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَىٰ وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَىٰ إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. Allah said, and when he came to it, the fire, he was called by name, O Musa. Verily, I am your Rabb. So take off your shoes. You are in the sacred valley of Tuwa. I have chosen you, so listen to that which is inspired to you. Verily, I am Allah. La ilaha illa ana. None has the right to be worshipped but I. So worship me and perform and establish as-salah, iqamati salah, for my remembrance. Wa aqimi salata li dhikri. The beginning of the ultimate blessing of Nubuwwat and Risalat and Wahi is to take off your shoes and demonstrate respect for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. As the poet Mustar Kharabadi said about the magnificent generosity of Allah, Khuda ki deen ka Musa se poochiye ahwal ke aag lene ko jaye payambari mil jaye. Ask Musa about the generosity of Allah. Ask Musa alayhi salam about the generosity of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He went to get some fire and got prophethood instead. Adab opens the doors of barakah in everything. It affects the hearts of people and influences their attitude towards us. When we demonstrate respect for others, they appreciate and reciprocate it. Good manners begin with adab. Good manners are the best and most powerful dawah. Good manners are learned by watching our teachers, experiencing their behavior, conceptualizing our experience, and practicing that behavior in our lives. That is why we need teachers who are great role models. That is why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu gave parents their exalted status, because they are our first teachers. Adab begins at home. There is no role model of good manners who is better than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Good manners affect the heart, ours and others. As I said earlier, children listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. Teachers who practice don't need to preach, because practice is the best sermon. If you see children misbehaving, don't punish them. Examine your own life and actions and see where and how they learned this misbehavior from you. The child does not know what is good and bad. If he did, parents and teachers would not be necessary. You get your status from what you contribute to building them into noble human beings. That is your purpose in life, especially if you are a parent and or a teacher. Every parent is a teacher by default. You signed up for it when you had a child. It is for parents to determine what kind of teachers they want to be. The child will learn regardless. You must ask, what is he or she learning? The child is your signature, your face, your honor, your sadaqa jariya, your legacy. And so he or she is worthy of your time and energy. If you don't believe that, forget about teaching or parenting. Teaching is the most honorable profession because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did it. Sixth, education must teach tools, not give our answers. The world is changing so rapidly that giving answers based on our own experience will almost always be wrong. Teach them to ask questions and then teach them the tools to find relative answers. Remember that their answers may be different from you, from what you always believe to be correct. Learn from them. That is the joy of teaching in this way. Give prizes for the best question, which is the one that nobody had thought of and for which the answer is not easy to find. Teach them to be comfortable with confusion, uncertainty and ambiguity, because that is what life is all about. Teach them to focus and persevere, to continue the search for the best solution no matter how long it takes. Teach them creativity and flexibility, to give up old ways that don't work and invent new ones. Success is not being right all the time, but in learning all the time. As Seneca said, as long as you live, keep learning how to live. The best cricket player is the one with the highest batting average, because every player gets bowled out sometime. Present them with real problems and see what solutions they create. After all, the problem is our contribution to their lives. Let us see if they can solve it. The best and most powerful learning is from doing. So teach them through projects. I have spoken about that in detail earlier, so won't repeat it here. Let them do business, govern, care for the commons, interact with society, handle information and communication, contribute in real situations of need, and see the smiles on faces where they had seen tears before. Guide them, not direct them. Learn from them while you teach them. Document that learning and use it to fine-tune your course content and methodology. Lead them to the sources of knowledge instead of dumbing down knowledge in textbooks. Make a nice bonfire of all textbooks. They are the second biggest crime in the name of education. The biggest crime is our examinations, where we only test random recall in a specific time frame. Totally illogical. And since the futures of children are linked to how they perform in these exams, it is criminal. Exams of this kind exist only for the benefit of lazy teachers. Instead, test their understanding and commitment and application and value addition. Test yourself and the success of your teaching. Testing memory went into the trash can when the first calculator was invented. Technology has opened the doors to knowledge from all sources. Children don't need to memorize data. Google gives them in 5 minutes what a teacher cannot give them in a lifetime. What they need are tools to deal with that data. They need to know how to differentiate, how to recognize right from wrong, how to evaluate information, how to authenticate what they read, and how to apply what they learn. What they don't need is to memorize and regurgitate on demand. So test differently. Seventh and last, teach them that any solution that they conceptualize needs the help of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to succeed. So teach them to work to the best of their ability in the day and to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night and ask him for success. This was the sunnah of all the anbiya and the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Teach them the boundaries of questioning, what is open to question and discovery, and what is a matter of faith. Not because we are against questioning, but because we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word in matters which are unperceivable, al-ghayb. Science is a tool to be used in tandem with Iman. It is the lens which helps us to look ever more closely at the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to recognize our Rabb and love Him. To reject science is to reject your glasses when you need them to see. You condemn yourself to blindness. As they say, you can make the blind see, but not the blindfolded. To end with another quote from Carl Sagan, science is not only compatible with spirituality, it is a profound source of spirituality. The notion that science and spirituality are somehow mutually exclusive does a disservice to both. I repeat, Carl Sagan, the astronomer, said, science is not only compatible with spirituality, it is a profound source of spirituality. The notion that science and spirituality are somehow mutually exclusive does a disservice to both. The creator of Carl Sagan told us this 15 centuries before. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. We close the loop and we come back to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. I wish we and our scholars and our ulama and our leaders had understood this. I wish we and they do so now. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.